This Rig Rundown is presented by the Yamaha DXR Series.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. I have my good friend again, Dan Johnson. Dan, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. You look less dapper, but still in control. How are you doing without the suit today?
Oh, I'm happy to not wear the suit. I mean, it's a special occasion thing.
We'll still give you the title of the best dressed guitar tech in any of our Rig Rundowns. As you know, Dan is with Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, and a familiar setup of the three amps, but there are some changes, so we'll go through the rig. Let's start with the familiar. Oh, four amps.
Yeah, one more is better, right?
Always.
I mean, we still have the Marshall, although I'm not using the JTM 45 head that much anymore. It's not quite loud enough now, it seems like.
Really?
So we started using the 50 watt.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds exactly the same, only it's just a little louder.
Same cab?
Yeah, same cabinet. It's got old Jensen. It has replaced Jensen speakers in it.
6x10, 8x10?
8x10s.
Okay.
8x10s. And we have 412s in the quad reverb. That's a 100 watt combo. It has new speakers too, though. I put some tubby tone hemp cone speakers in it.
What were you looking for that to change it up to go with the hemp cone?
Well, the old speakers died.
Okay.
They froze up. And they were vintage 30s. There was two vintage 30s and two 25 watt greenbacks. But we wanted to go with 25 watt Alnico tubby tone, the hemp cone speakers. They're real like deluxe speakers.
Okay.
Well, they're, you know, 25 watts. But the magnet is, like, intensely small compared to the 25 watt greenbacks and the vintage 30s I took out. I mean, this amp is like 50 pounds lighter than it was. It's amazing. And it's every bit as loud as it was, but it has a little more, like, nuance to the top because the paper, the cone, is, like, a little more delicate.
Okay.
And, you know, it does a little different fluttery thing where the old ones were a little bit more rugged. I mean, the paper didn't tear in the old ones. The coil just bound up. And
is that something that you have the ability to change and, you know, hopefully Dan likes it? Or does he tell you, hey, change that or
we've been talking
with the speakers?
We've been talking about these speakers for years.
Okay.
He's like, I love those things. They're my favorite speakers. And I'm like, well, how come we don't have in any of your amps? Let's get four of them. And we did. So those are great.
And how's he run this one compared to that one in terms of all the four setup of... I assume all four are on?
Yeah, they're all pretty much guns a-blazing. You know, this is not all the way up, but it's well into dirty.
Okay.
This one's halfway up and, you know, edgy, dirty, splashy too, because it's got the reverb on it. This has the slapback, you know, like a real tight echo, one echo with the full-tone tape echo back there. I also have a backup too. I've been using the Strymon pedal too because it's super quiet. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, El Capistan.
Oh, okay.
But we've changed these out. These are new. Well, not new. New compared to the last time we talked on camera. Shortly after that, I mean, we were just trying out the Victoria for a while because he was talking to the guy that makes the Victoria amps and he sent him a few of them to try out. But we got these to Dan Electro shortly after that. And they're both like a quartet of 6V6s. They're both simple and similar power amps. Four 6V6s, and it has a 5Y3 tube rectifier. And this is an accordion amp. It says Italian accordion manufacturing company. But on the back, it says clearly Dan Electro Commando. But what this is it's a pub PA. It's a PA. That's for singing and playing your accordion through. Because these two unhinge and you can separate them.
Oh, okay.
They used to have a real long lead of wire so that you could separate them. You know, you probably put your accordion in one channel and your vocal in the other, and that's a gig.
Just rock, yeah.
Yeah, it has originally some ceramic 8 inches over here. Those are the original ones. And Dan wanted to try out some Weber Alnicos too, so it has some of both. It sounds amazing. It's not super loud, but it's...
You notice the sound difference? What do you hear?
Not so much. I really can't. Between the two, it's really hard. They're pretty similar. The amp is not super loud, you know, but compared to this guy... This thing is, you know, in this one, and they're blowing into the back of each other. So that's where the Palmer DIs really come in handy for Jason out front at front of house.
Okay.
Because you get like phasing issues and stuff with the microphones.
I think what this thing lacks in volume, it might make up in vibe. It has a lot of cool.
I mean, every time I get it out, people are just like, what's that? I think it's a 1958. Pretty sure that's what it is. I think it's a 1956. Another Dan Electro Challenger. Again, four 6V6s, 5Y3. I mean, it's also got the old SN7, SJ7s. I think this is a 12AX7, though. It has one modern preamp tube. But it has really cool tremolo, which we don't use, unfortunately, because we use a tremolo pedal that'll affect all amps at once. But it's got a cool sound, though. But the thing is, the rig now has 115, 8.8s, 412s, 610s. We got everything going on.
That one has what you were saying before, the effect, the delay in the effects loop.
Yeah, it's just... Okay. It's not in the loop. It's just in line with the input.
Oh, okay.
It's just a real tight slapback. This one quick echo. Gives it like a, you know, rockabilly sort of old school sound.
Is that something that's always on to have that effect all the time?
Always. Okay. That and that. We don't really change the rig of this. I mean, these amps are dialed up to where they're dirty if you pound on the guitar and cleaner if you play it delicate.
Before we move on past the amps, I wanted to ask, specifically for these two, was there anything that you had to do to get them up and running, or when you got them, they were good to go?
Oh no, they did work, but they were not ready to tour. We had, you know, Dan has a studio in Nashville.
Yep.
Okay, so he's got some technicians there. One guy, Danny Tomsic, is a brilliant dude. He just went through the whole thing completely, replaced capacitors and resistors, you know, that needed to be done because those old things and old circuits also, there's a, you know, I can't, because I'm not an expert on old amp circuits. I mean, maybe to some people, but not to an amp guy, you know what I mean? I'm more about the instruments, really, than the amps. I can fix something that's obvious, but I don't, like, go do what Danny just did to these.
It's a lot less dangerous dealing with guitars.
Yeah, Dan, obviously, yeah, that's true. Obviously, Dan likes to keep other dudes named Dan around, too. So he's got Danny Tomsic in his studio that does, studio... repairs and modifications to consoles and stuff like that. But he fixed up these amps for us and got them ready, and they've been super solid ever since too. I think he did quite a lot of work to them. There's a feature about old amp, like 50s tube amp circuits, that makes it a little bit dangerous. Like if like a little fuse pops or something, it can sort of be super dangerous. Like it can send AC down the ground or something like that. So that's something that you have to change when you're dealing with trying to get these things modernized for playing live.
That sounds sketchy.
But we have them cranked. I mean, they're dimed all night, every night. And they, they sound great. Basically the same as it was, mostly. I mean, I rearranged things a little bit. But we still have the main fuzz units are the Rozac New Fuzz Wah, which we don't use the Wah, obviously. That's why this is here. and the old Big Muff, this is like what started... Boy, I mean, Dan's been using that pedal for a long, long time. and this is the companion fuzz, the Chine. That's the FY6 circuit that has the octave. It's a little bit of octave in it.
Okay.
Although it doesn't use an inductor like other octave pedals. I don't really know what kind of circuit it is. So the octave, like, pops and disappears and pops and disappears instead of being real overwhelming.
Huh.
So he really digs it. I think that was probably his favorite fuzz currently. I don't know. It's a mix.
Is it broken down in terms of like the phases of the band, or you know, the progression of the albums, or based on the sounds or the fuzzes, or
somewhat like when they do the older songs, like they just did Your Touch earlier for Soundcheck, and that's always going to be the Big Muff,
okay.
You know, and things off of Brothers Forward basically use this,
the companion.
Yeah, the companion fuzz, and we use this a little bit here and there. We use that on like Tighten Up and Next Girl.
You mentioned how the octave kind of comes in and out with the super octave. Where does that come into to play?
The super octave and the phaser are actually in one loop together. So like at the end of Tighten Up, he plays this sound that is both of those pedals on at the same time.
Okay.
But so that's like a specialty loop. I also have another pedal in that loop too. So whenever he can go for that button and hit that loop, and I have it preset to what's going to come up when that happens. So like when they play Tighten Up, I make sure those two are on. We do some other songs. He plays one where he uses the super octave and the companion fuzz at the same time. So the super octave is creating an octave below, so it's got this deep ballsy sound. And the companion fuzz puts an octave above, and you can hear them all, basically. You can hear all the octaves. I mean, they're not... well, the bass octave is real prominent because this guy's really aggressive.
Yeah.
But the higher octave just kind of comes in and disappears. And this is just to add a little bit of mid-range back into the... Because this is a real scoopy kind of fuzzy sound. That just cuts the lows a little bit, and we boost the mids a little bit to bring it back in, give it a little more presence. Drawer 2, you can see that that's actually a separate rig. It's like a B rig. It's like a spare backup. But, you know, it's also expansion drawer now, too, because we've needed to expand it to covering more things. So it has another fuzz pedal in it. It has the Earthquaker Devices terminal, which is a great fuzz pedal.
Your guitar just reviewed that, so people should go check that out.
It's great. We have it dialed up so that it's barely on. So he can play it, and it's not like a explosive fuzz, but like a manageable fuzz that doesn't feed back like crazy. And he uses that on one of the new songs called It's Up to You Now.
Okay.
And then he goes to one of the other fuzzes for the solo, but that's for the main rhythms because it's just more controllable. And also the Q-tron, that's new too. That's also patched into the loop with this one. I mean, this is starting to get kind of confusing.
Maybe
the loops are, I really have to like constantly be refreshing myself on Q button pushes and stuff. Because, you know, as you remember from the last interview, I have a controller over in my world there, and I'm making some changes for him. And that's expanding all the time. You know, sometimes he just, you know, is feeling it. So he walks away and he's jamming with the band, and there's a cue coming up, so I just get it. Because, well, because I've gotten in the habit of hovering the button in case he misses or forgets. You know, so I have to constantly be, like, watching for his toes to go for it. Because if we step on him at the same time, then I'll sometimes turn it off. That's a hassle. But, I don't know, it's all, it keeps it exciting, that's for sure. We've got more guitars, more tunings, more pedals, more effects.
More duties for you.
More rushing around to change tremolo speeds and, you know, that kind of stuff. I got one other gadget that I'm super proud of. It's really cool. The Kikusui voltage regulator. That was recommended by Mike Hill. He used to be like the guy with Marshall.
All right.
But he builds rigs and stuff on his own now. And I was watching the Brian May
one,
and he has the same one right in his rig. It's really cool because these old amps, they don't like 120 volts. They like 117 volts. You know, like those few volts really make a big difference in how they function and how well they'll last. And that thing is like, that thing's not designed for rock and roll. It's designed for medical equipment and hospitals and stuff. So
defibrillators and life saving.
Yeah, it's super reliable. So I have everything basically patched into that thing now. And I don't know if we had that. We had wireless when you were here last time, maybe. Well, we tried that for a while. And I would keep the cable on standby just in case, you know, because wireless can, you know, can sometimes not be there. And one time I switched the guitars out, put it on the channel, he went out to play, and it wasn't there. He's like, now what? So I quick plugged in the cable, and we never went back. So I took it out, because, well, in the time that we were using the wireless, I realized that he didn't take one step further than his cable would ever let him go anyway, because he has to get back to the microphone in time to sing, so... We don't need it. And the fuzz pedals didn't sound as good anyway when we were using the wireless. So now we're back to the cable. We got the Divine Noise, the Curly.
Yeah,
the 50-50.
Yeah, I do want to point this out because this looks like this is a whole nother rig. I don't know who might use this stuff.
Well, it's a mess because I just threw it together like 2 days ago. Well, maybe about 4 days ago. And I haven't had a chance to decide, you know, what's going to actually live on this board yet. But I've started playing guitar. This is my rig.
This is your rig rundown.
Right. Right. Maybe eventually we'll have another technician. And
named Dan.
Yeah. Of course. That would be funny. Yeah, that's a tone job. That's like an EQ pedal, sort of. But it can boost and cut. And it's really cool. I have that following this little fuzz pedal. He gave us several of them. And I tried them out. And they're all real tiny like that. And really good. The spring reverb is great. We're using that over on the Hammond right now.
All right.
And this little fuzz pedal, it just... when you turn it on, it's like a bomb going off. It's too much, actually. And I only have it like halfway up. So I'm cutting the highs after it and managing the level output a little bit more with this tone job after the fuzz pedal so that I can... I'm not actually using that yet. The song that I'm playing on is just clean, jangly guitar.
But future songs.
Yeah, but we might do some other songs later where I need some distortion, and I'm just trying to be prepared for it.
And then you're going into the Super, right?
Yeah, this is old Super Reverb that we've had around for a long time. It's Dan's. We used to... back in the day when the keyboard rig was tiny, we used to play the Farfisa through it. And then it was just in storage for a long time, and we carried it around as a spare. And then all of a sudden, now I need to use it, so I'm excited, really excited about playing. You know, I've known these guys and Dan especially for a long, long time, and, you know, just to, maybe it's only one song, but the transition of stepping up here and playing alongside of them now is awesome. It's really exciting. It makes me really look forward more to, you know, doing what I do over there, too. It's just everything's more fun now. This is about the same as it was. It's a little bit more crowded, too, because I got a few more things going on here. I got this button here to switch from A and B back and forth, and then I added this Strymon here as a backup, which I've actually been using it more. I don't think he knows. But even the full tone, I mean, it's a good device, but it's still noisy.
Yeah.
And it reverses phase, too. That's another thing. That's why I have the Lely box in line with it to keep it in phase. Okay. With. But the Strymon doesn't do that, and it's super quiet and very reliable. And so, I don't know. I've also tried to start using some color coding on the cabling to keep things a little bit more neat. But there's just so much stuff in there that that's just about as neat as it gets, really.
Yeah, it looks pretty clean.
Every time I add something, it's like an hour's worth of work to just fish the power supply in there, figure out where you're going to mount it, and then cable it up and make sure the cables can move when you move the drawer. That's the main complication. So there has to be some slack, too, for it to move.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is my baby, my pride and joy. I spent a lot of time on this, and it's also a showstopper, too, so I really, it has to be right.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen these before in the last time we did this. This is the Guild 64 Guild Thunderbird. It's still getting a lot of action.
Is there anything you've done since the last time we've talked? Any maintenance?
No. I don't think so. I mean, I refretted it at some point. He played it for a while, and then I refretted it to make it a little bit better. But I can't remember if that was before or after I talked to you the first time.
Can't recall.
But actually, it's a super solid guitar. I did some work to it when we first got it. Needed a new switch, and the pickup had to be rewound, and a lot of setup work. I made a nut for it and put some new tuners on it, and, you know, the usual stuff you would do to something you want to tour with. But it's pretty solid. I'm really lucky now that most of these guitars have gotten quite a lot of work, but on a daily basis, I don't have to work on them. I mean, I'm a guitar tech, but I work up there on the amps and the rig, like, all the time, and rarely ever on these.
It's setting up your own rig now, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty easy, but... the thing is, like, Dan doesn't like new strings really either, so I'm not trying to put new strings on every day on every guitar.
How often do you think you change them?
A couple times a tour, maybe.
Wow.
You know, but the thing is, we change guitars like every song almost.
That's true.
So all the time. So only a few guitars get a substantial amount of play during any given set.
Which one would you say the one that's currently getting the most, the Supro?
This white one. This white Supro gets a lot of action. Okay, I don't know exactly what year it is. I think it's maybe 65-ish.
Okay.
It's a Supro Martinique. It's a really... they made a lot of different versions of these oddball shapes.
Yeah.
I think they even made a wooden one of these, too. Some of these were doubled in wood, and some of them had their own unusual shapes that were only wood. But this one is the Resoglass design with the gasket and the screws. You take these screws out, and you can just pop the whole back off. You don't even have to take the neck and strings off. You should, but you don't have to. but this is pretty much original. I mean, I refretted it because this neck is not adjustable. So that's... Once it's there, it does have a truss rod. It's a big box style, like an old Martin.
It's like Ronco, set it and forget it.
Yeah, it's solid as can be. I never have to work on this guitar. But getting it to the point of never having to work on it anymore was actually a lot of work. So,
is there a particular for this setup or for this guitar? Is he playing it both in the middle neck? Is there a particular spot he likes to play?
Just pretty much he uses the bridge pickup all the time.
Okay.
Unless he goes to the neck pickup with it dark for that octave thing. Yeah. This also has the pickup in the bridge, too. It's a piezo pickup under there. And he used it to record on Brothers. This guitar actually appears on Brothers quite a bit. And you can hear that it's a very specific, identifiable sound when you're playing this pickup into an electric guitar amplifier. And you can hear that all over Brothers. Howlin' For You, Too Afraid to Love You, I think, maybe. Maybe a couple of others. But basically, he plays the bridge pickup all the time. Okay. Which is kind of weird, because in the old days, when he used to play the Telecaster, he used to have this James Burton Telecaster, and it had DiMarzio Fast Track pickups in it, which are like metal pickups.
Yeah, yeah.
And he played the neck pickup all the time only with that super high output pickup, and that was his sound. And then one, I don't know, I think it was when this harmony came along. We pull this one out for all the old songs. And it, man, when he plugs it in, it's got a very, it roars. Obviously it does the body roar thing because of the super high volume and it's hollow and stuff, but that pickup rips. It just sounds amazingly good. And, you know, this guitar's gotten quite a lot of work, too. I mean, obviously that's not the original bridge. And I replaced all these pots at one point because they were a problem.
What about the gold foils? Is any do any work to those?
Or no, they're just magical on their own. it has the wrong switch tips because they broke. They all break. I guess I could probably find some of those on eBay. Maybe I should look, but they'll probably just break again.
You're too busy looking at guitars, not replacement parts.
I look at whole parts or whole guitars. No, actually, I buy parts all the time, too. I just bought a Hagstrom tremolo yesterday. And that's the same one that's on this Guild Thunderbird. It's just a really cool tremolo that works for a lot of guitars. I have a lot of projects. I probably have 5 or 6 other guitars of his that, you know, I'll finish someday.
Someday when you get around to it.
This is his current favorite.
Beautiful.
So I was looking at guitars on eBay one night late, as you do.
Yeah.
And I found this, and I sent a link to Dan, which was something we do. And he was like, ooh, I just bought it. So he bought it. Sorry. It's a K-Craft. It's kind of like the... if this company and this company got together, which they did, they merged at one point, and then they started making these. So it's kind of a Harmony body with a neck that's very similar to the Supro and the Nationals. And it has the Valco single coils. And sort of a Jazzmaster style pickguard, tremolo. These cool pickguards came on it. Those knobs, those all came on it.
Is everything pretty much up and set, or did you have to do anything to the pickups or the electronics internally?
Electronics, no. I didn't have to do anything to that. That all worked great. But when he got the guitar, he just had it shipped to me, and it wasn't even playable. It wasn't even close to playable. The neck was backbowed real bad. It didn't have any fret wear on it, which to me is a sign that it's been backbowed since they made it. Uh-huh. And so no one ever really got to play it. Maybe a little bit, but anyway, so I worked on it a lot. I had to take the fingerboard off and put an adjustable truss rod in there that would adjust in both directions. I put a hot rod from Stuart McDonald in there. Any of your techie fans will know what that is. It's a fairly easy modification to do. I mean, considering you're taking the fingerboard off, whatever. I put it back on, then straightened it, refretted it, made a new nut. I also moved this tremolo back and added this bridge too. The original bridge swings from this, and this guy was up to here. So that was a fairly major modification that just had to be done. The original bridge didn't have, it sucks. It was lacking in adjustability for spacing, for intonation, and for individual string height. So I got a Rickenbacker style bridge from All Parts. And put that on here, and then I trimmed out the backside of the route for the tremolo and moved it back a little bit. So now, because another thing too is the arm was just so close to here that you would have to reach clear up here to use the tremolo. And that doesn't make sense. You know, a Jazzmaster tremolo would have been clear back here if it was on a Jazzmaster. So I had to make this bar. I made that out of an old hat rack. I just happened to have it, and it was the right size. So anyway, so the end result was when I got it finally done and set up and playable, and I plugged it in, these pickups are awesome. They're not always awesome. Sometimes they're dark and kind of boring, but these in particular are, you know, crunchy, bright. And what's cool is on the treble pickup, it has, you know, volume. Of course, they're reversed too, like a Gibson. But so this is the bridge pickup, but the tone control, you have to turn it all the way down for it to be full range. And as you dial it up, it cuts the lows, which is somewhat typical of 60s guitars. Mm-hmm. So that you can make treble be the treble, and you can make bass be the real bass. So they usually have a gigantic capacitor here for rolling off the highs on the neck pickup, which is something that he's been doing a lot more lately, too, because back to the fuzz pedal, the Shinee companion fuzz, the octave feature, if you go to the neck pickup and dial the treble all out of it, so it's the octave really pops, and the fuzz is sick. It's crazy, but that's how that's his like his favorite solo sound now is the neck pickup with the tone ditched completely. Yeah, because it's just a sick fuzzy sound that you can't get when the guitar's bright and crunchy. So anyway, this guy still gets a little bit of play. He plays this for Howlin' and for You, and I play it too on the song that I'm playing on. This one's been around for a long time, too. His dad gave him this, or one of his dad's friends gave him this, I think. And I fix it up for him.
If I'm not mistaken, that's one of the first ones that you worked on for him, if I recall from our last interview.
It's earlier than any of these other ones. Yeah. I wouldn't say it would be the first one, but it would definitely before any of these guitars. He's got a lot of guitars at home. Yeah. I don't know if we saw this last time, too.
What's this song, or what's this song? What's this used on, or what song?
The intro to Little Black Submarines is, acoustic. And it was recorded with a regular acoustic, and this is a Dobro from, like, maybe the late 30s, probably 36, 37, or something like that. He picked it up in Montreal a couple years ago, out just shopping at a guitar store one day, and it was a mess, too. It didn't play very good at all. In fact, it was barely playable, and it sounded super flat and boring, which these things usually have a real lively, honky sound, because that's a speaker in there. But this is the Spider Bridge style instead of the Biscuit Bridge style, and it's just a little mellower. And the body being all solid brass, too, instead of steel, makes it a little bit mellower sound, too. Okay, but the thing is, he uses it on Little Black Submarines, which was recorded with a regular acoustic guitar. So to make this work for the show, it looks cool, but when you plug it in, it has just an undersaddle B-band pickup, and it sounds like just about any guitar with an undersaddle pickup. I mean, it has a little bit of nuance of the resonator, but not really much. It just looks cool and interesting, and sounds like a regular plugged-in acoustic guitar with a pickup under the saddle. So,
and during that song, when the song actually kicks in and it gets pretty gnarly, does he switch the guitar, or does he...
Yeah.
Which one does he grab then after he ditches this one?
He finishes that intro, and then I run up there in the dark, and then we switch to this Guild Thunderbird, and he plays the rest of the song on that. Okay. Yeah. And it's a cool transition. I mean,
keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's dark. Really dark. When it goes dark in an arena, it's dark.
And I noticed there's variations in the straps. Is there a company that makes these, or is he just kind of picked these up randomly throughout?
No, I think his artist friends make them for him. So they're sentimental to him and unique. Well, this is a new addition, too. This is out of his studio. It's an old Supro. Interesting. It's not a piece of wood. It's made from a piece of masonite. But they're doing a song off the new record. It's called Gotta Get Away. And in the middle of it, it's got a lap steel solo. So I carry it out there and set it next to him. And when the solo comes up, he just turns sideways, plays the solo, goes back to the song. And I do a switching thing with the... It just goes into the loop return of one of the loops, which puts it in front of the guitar, which just shuts off the guitar he's playing and turns this one on. And then it undoes itself, too, when I turn that loop off. Electrically, it's pretty simple.
Just another loop.
Yeah, it's just one more button and cue that I have to remember and get worried about. Because when it goes wrong, it's ugly.
And to close up everything we talked about the guitars, is he still using SIT?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we still use SIT strings. Mostly 11 to 50s. But like this Guild, it has 10 to 52s on it because it's a little bit more delicate.
What about this guy over here? I know this is one of your projects.
Yeah, this is brand new to us, too. Well, this belongs to me, actually. I bought it. It came into my shop and needing a repair because this side is crunched. But I just glued it. And then I called the people because they told me it wasn't that special to them, the people that owned it. And I asked them if they would sell it to me, and they did. It's a Harmony Sovereign, but it has an enormous headstock. And it's the most ornate Sovereign I've ever seen. Check out that bridge. How awesome is that?
That's a great mustache.
That's a big bird. Okay, so it had an adjustable carrier and a saddle thing with wheels and stuff, but I wanted to put a pickup in it so we can use it in the show. So I filled that slot with a piece of rosewood and then recut it, and I just made that bone saddle just the other day. And I put a B-band pickup in it and the B-band microphone. So, I mean, this thing's been beat up. It's probably mid-60s, too. It sounds awesome, though. I mean, for what it is, I only paid $500 for it. I mean, it's... Yeah! Well, so I was thinking, man, this is so Dan. He's going to love it. I sent him pictures of it, and he said, nah, I don't know, I'm not really feeling that one. So I bought it anyway.
Yeah.
And then I showed up with it, and he's like, what's that?
Remember that picture?
Yeah.
All right, Dan, thank you again for taking so much time to reprise the rig that has changed somewhat, but still somewhat the same. So thank you again very much.
My pleasure.
If he's not wearing the suit, you can still recognize him as Dan Johnson for Chris Keys, PremierGuitar.com.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.